Thank you for joining our podcast. We hope that this message will both teach and encourage you. Here's today's message.
So the title of the message today is Sin Alert. And we're going to look at how Israel got a sin alert in their lives. We're just going to jump right into it. So Joshua 7, 11 through 15 says, Israel has sinned. Let me give you, first of all, some background that would help you. Right after the Battle of Jericho, remember Jericho, they walk around seven times and they shout and the walls fall down. And God gave them some instructions, and this is what he said. He said, everything has to be destroyed except gold, silver, metal, iron. Those things need to be brought into the Lord's treasury to be used for of the Lord. So those things I could keep and put in the Lord's treasury, but everything else had to be destroyed. So then Israel, they're all excited about their great defeat of Jericho and how God just went before them. And they're going to go up and take over another land, Ai. They're going to go up to Ai and take this town. And they're totally, they send spies in. And the spies are like, hey, we don't even need all of us. This is a piece of cake. You know, we're just going to go up here and we're going to take it over. Just, you know, send a couple of thousand guys. We'll be fine. So they send a few thousand guys, and they are soundly defeated. And so then they're upset. Why were we defeated? What have we done wrong? What is going on? And this is what God says as to why they were defeated. He says, Israel has sinned. They have violated my covenant, which I commanded them to keep. They have taken some of the devoted things. They have stolen. They have lied. They have put them with their own possessions. This is why the Israelites cannot stand against their enemies. They turn their backs and run because they have been made liable to destruction. I will not be with you anymore unless you destroy whatever among you is devoted to destruction. Go consecrate the people. Tell them, consecrate yourselves in preparation for tomorrow, for this is what the Lord, the God of Israel, says. There are devoted things among you, Israel. You cannot stand against your enemies until you remove them. In the morning, present yourselves, tribe by tribe. The tribe the Lord chooses shall come forward, clan by clan. The clan the Lord chooses shall come forward, family by family. And the family the Lord chooses shall come forward, man by man. Whoever is caught, say caught, caught, with the devoted thing shall be destroyed by fire, along with all that belongs to him. He has violated the covenant of the Lord and has done an outrageous thing in Israel. I want to stop here for just a minute, because how many of you know there's a difference between being caught and really being sorry for something you've done? There's a difference. When my kids were teenagers, they came up with this so-called apology, and they would say, well, Mom, I'm sorry you're upset. I bet they were. But that wasn't an apology. They weren't sorry for what they had done. They were sorry they were caught. About a year ago at work, another manager was having to counsel someone. Actually, she was writing them up for their behavior, and she needed a witness. So I was there as the witness. And this is someone who had worked for me for a long time that she was writing up. And I knew she had had some things going on in her life, and I think she was just kind of acting out because of it. But we're sitting there, and she's kind of, you know, saying, well, you need to give me some examples, because the other manager said, you know, you're not treating people right. You're being rude and ugly to your team, and you can't do that. Well, you need to give me some examples. So she gave her an example, and she goes, well, I'm sorry you saw that. I said, wait a minute. I was supposed to be the witness, but I couldn't be quiet. I said, wait a minute. I said, did you just hear yourself? You're sorry she saw that, but you're not sorry you did that. I said, that's a different thing. I said, you know, I know you're going through some stuff, but the people that work for you don't deserve this. I mean, it's not their fault. You need to treat people better. You need to be sorry for your behavior, not sorry that she saw it. And I don't think she cared at the moment, actually. But there is a big difference. We need to be sorry when we go to the Lord and repent. We need to be sorry we did it, not sorry we were caught. And we need to know what the difference is. So going forward, Joshua 7, 19 through 23, dropping down a little bit, said, "Then Joshua said to Achan, 'My son, give glory to the Lord, the God of Israel, and honor him. Tell me what you have done. Do not hide it from me.' Achan replied, 'It is true. I have sinned against the Lord, the God of Israel. This is what I have done. When I saw in the plunder a beautiful robe from Babylonia, 200 shekels of silver and a bar of gold weighing 50 shekels, I coveted them and took them. They are hidden in the ground inside my tent with the silver underneath.' So Joshua sent messengers, and they ran to the tent, and there it was, hidden in his tent with the silver underneath. They took the things from the tent, brought them to Joshua and all the Israelites, and spread them out before the Lord." And then it goes on to say that Achan and his whole family and all the stuff that he had was destroyed because of his sin. But I want you to notice something here. I am convinced Achan wasn't truly sorry for what he did, and I will tell you why. Because, first of all, he's seen God move. He knows God is not stupid. So he knows all of this, and he knows that they're going to be brought forward clan by clan, family by family, and yet he doesn't say, "It was me." When he, you know, I mean, even at the beginning, he doesn't say, "Oh, wait a minute, I've sinned. You know, I need to repent of this." He waits to see if God can find him out. You know, we've got to make sure that we need to be on the offensive when it comes to saying, "Lord, I am sorry." We've got to be able to repent right away and not just try to cover it up. So, Israel was alerted to their sin by the defeat they experienced. They didn't know that there was sin in the camp. Israel didn't. Now Achan did, because he did it. But Israel as a whole had no idea what was going on. They thought, "Yeah, God's with us. We got this." They go try to fight that battle, and then it's like, what happened? Now, every time something bad happens in your life does not mean that you've sinned. But it doesn't hurt to say, "Lord, is this a test? Is this just life? Or is there sin?" I mean, if you ask the Lord, he's going to tell you. He's not going to keep that a secret from you. But sometimes sin can creep in. Like Israel didn't know that this sin was there, but sometimes it creeps in. And most of the time we don't even realize, or sometimes we don't realize, we even have sin in our life. I was exercising the other day. We turned our oldest son, when he moved out, we turned his room into an exercise room. Not right away, lest you think we were sorry, or not sorry that he left. We were sorry that he left. It took a while for me to be able to change anything. But we turned it into an exercise room, and I was in there one day exercising, and I saw something in the corner of the room, and I thought, that looks like the tile had just kind of bulged up a little bit, but I didn't really get close enough to look, and I really kind of just forgot about it. And then probably about a month later, I was on the floor doing sit-ups, which I do maybe once a year, and so I was doing the sit-ups, and I laid down. I looked over in the corner, and I thought, oh, my, what is that? It looked like it was quite a bit bigger. So since I couldn't get up at the moment, I crawled over there, and I looked, and it was an ant pile. It was a pretty big ant pile in the corner. Now, this is like right by an exterior wall. It had been raining a lot. It was in the spring. And I guess it just started developing over in the corner. And had I paid attention to begin with, it wouldn't have gotten as big as it did. But Brian had to treat it and all of that. But, you know, it didn't happen overnight. And sometimes little things start creeping in our life. And maybe at the time it comes in, it's not necessarily a bad thing. But the more it grows and morphs, it can turn into something bad that we don't even realize. It can turn into sin. So we've got to be careful. We need to ask the Holy Spirit to reveal any areas of sin in our life. The Holy Spirit is not going to say, "No, that's a secret. I'm not going to tell you." If we ask him, he will definitely tell us the areas of sin in our life. You know, we have alerts for everything these days, don't we? We have an alert on our phone. We have an alert in our car. We have alerts on the TV. We have alerts on our watches. My watch vibrates all day long. Something's coming through. I've got some kind of notification or alert. The other night when that storm came through, Brian and I were at the house, and we go to bed early because we get up early. So we were about to go to bed, and he's playing something on his phone, so there's some noise going. I'm sitting there, and for a while I thought I've heard this weird noise. And I said, Brian, turn your phone off. So he turns the phone off. I said, is that the sirens? And he goes, yeah, I think it is. So we turned the TV on, and sure enough, it was the sirens. But we've got to pay attention to the alerts. We were ready to just kind of, you know, think, oh, well, that's a weird noise, and go on to bed, which wouldn't have been good if it had been coming right at us. But we've got to pay attention to alerts. And we need to have a sin alert in our life. We need to let the Holy Spirit alert us to any sin in our life so that we can act on it. You know, we are a devoted thing. We are devoted to the Lord. Our lives should be devoted to service to God. God said that Israel had stolen when he was talking to them because they had stolen some of the devoted things. But we've all stolen. And you may think, oh, I've never stolen anything in my life. Well, have you never stolen the plan that God had for you and replaced it with your own plan for your life? God has a plan for every one of us. And sometimes we just push it aside, or we just take it and we throw it away and we do what we want to do. So we've stolen God's plan at different times. I've done it at some point in my life. We've all done that. God said Israel had lied. We've lied. Have you never lied to yourself and said, oh, I think God's okay with this? Only later on to realize God's not okay with this. There have been times in our life when we have lied to ourselves and lied to God because we thought, oh, well, it'll be fine. But it's not fine. They knew there was a problem. Israel knew there was a problem, but they really didn't know what it was. So they had to ask the Lord, what exactly is this problem? What exactly is going on here? Why are we having these issues? They had to ask him. Sometimes we're so deceived by society and by everything that's going on that we think we're okay. And we don't even realize for a while that we have a problem. Israel had taken devoted things and put them in their own possession. And our life and our body is a devoted thing. And when we use it in a manner that's contrary to what God wants us to do, then we've almost like put it with our own possessions. And we've devalued our life because we're not living it the way God wants us to live it. And we've got to do that. Romans 12:1 says, therefore, I urge you, brothers and sisters, in view of God's mercy, to offer your bodies as a living sacrifice, holy and pleasing to God. This is your true and proper worship. That is our true and proper worship. To live our life as a living sacrifice, every day saying, Lord, I'm yours. Do with me what you want today. Tell me what to say, what to do. I'm going to be obedient in everything. I am yours today. Sometimes we get up and we think, hey, I'm mine today. Here's my plan. You know, sometimes Brian and I will talk when he's working and I'm going to work, or he just got off and I'm going in. We don't see each other that morning, so we'll talk on the phone. He'll say, what do you got planned today? And I usually have a plan. Then I got to think, is that God's plan? You know, what's God's plan for you today? You got any idea what God's plan for you is today? Maybe we need to reword that, honey. Kind of say it a little bit different. There are consequences to our sin and how we live our lives. We're not going to get by with it. There are always consequences. Scripture says, do not be deceived. God cannot be mocked. A man reaps what he sows. If you look back in the original Greek, that word deceived is planeo. And it means to cause to stray, to lead astray, lead aside from the right way, to go astray, wander, roam about, to lead away from the truth, to lead into error, to deceive. We don't want to be led away. It even means to sin, if you see down there in the third one. We don't want to be led astray. We can't afford to be led astray. We have got to be pleasing to the Lord. We must repent from sin and remove it from our lives. We can't keep it hidden. We can't try to put a Band-Aid on it. We've got to remove it from our lives. Sometimes we try to fix problems ourselves. I'm a fixer. you come to me with a problem, I can probably tell you what I would do. You know, well, I would do this. Or maybe you should try that. You know, sometimes people just want you to listen. They don't want you to fix their problems. I'm trying to learn that part. But, you know, sometimes we think, oh, I just need more self-control in this area of my life because I keep falling here. So I just need more self-control. But sometimes what we need is more of God. We need to repent, and we need more of God in that area of our life. There was a lady that I worked with about 6 or 7 years ago, so I guess it was kind of long ago. But, you know, her and her husband would be in church, and everything would be great. And then her and her husband would get out of church, and then everything was bad. And then they would get back, and she'd come and cry, and I think, you know, he wants a divorce and all this stuff. And I'd say, okay, are y'all in church? No. Well, you need to get back in church. And finally I said, you know, there's a pattern here. Have you noticed this pattern? When y'all are in church and serving the Lord, your marriage is good. When you're not in church and serving the Lord, your marriage is bad. Are you seeing a pattern? Look back over time with me and realize this. But come to find out, her husband was having an affair. And I said, it was with a lady he worked with. And so I told her, I said, he needs to quit his job. Well, he can't quit his job. I said, that relationship has to be severed. He cannot continue to see this woman every day and work with her every day and think that things are going to be okay. You've got to sever that. You've got to cut sin out of your life. You cannot play with it. You cannot toy with it. It's got to be gone. There was, I saw this guy giving his testimony not too long ago, and he was in a same-sex relationship, and he had been really digging in the Bible and just trying to see what God had for him, and he said that God told him that this relationship was not pleasing to him, and he needed to get out of it. So he says, so I demoted my boyfriend to a roommate. And I thought, okay, well, that's not going to work, buddy, because you've got to get that relationship has to be severed. It has to be, you've got to get rid of that sin. You can't just toy with that. If you're a drunk, you can't go to a bar. You can't keep alcohol in yourself, in your house. There's stuff you've got to do to get rid of sin in your life, and it takes work sometimes, but it's always worth it. We've got to do that. The consequence to keeping sin in our life is we set ourselves up for destruction. We make it where God can't be with us anymore due to the sin that's in our life. We don't want to be like Israel, where God says, I can't be with you because of the way you act. You know, in Galatians, it gives us like a whole list of sins. And it's everything from sexual immorality, lying, murder. There's also jealousy, anger, selfishness. Is there any one of us who has never, ever been selfish? Oh, come on. I love you, but I know the truth back there. We've all had some point in our life when we have been selfish, and we shouldn't be. There's just all kinds of different things. You know, my sin of choice will probably not be yours. I mean, everybody has different things that kind of hooks them, you know, that's a problem for them. So I'm asking you today not to be like Israel. I'm asking you to kind of judge for yourselves how you are, what areas in your life you need to shore up, what you might need to repent of. Ask the Holy Spirit. He is your alert. I want to tell you a little story that kind of to sums it up. The other day, this was maybe 2 weeks ago, Brian, you know, is a fireman, so he works 24 hours. So it's 4:00 in the morning. He's at work. I'm home by myself. So my doorbell alert goes off. So I don't get too upset about it because usually it's a spider or a cricket crawling up the wall or something, you know. So when we first got it and it started, I would look at it every time. Boy, you know, somebody's at our door. Because it says someone is detected at your door is what it says. But this day, it went off, and I thought, eh. So I rolled over. It went off again. It went off again. And I thought, what in the world is going on here? So I get my phone, which is by my bed, and I look at, you can see the image outside. And I looked at it, and I can see red flashing lights. thought, okay, there's a fire truck out there or something. So I get up and I go and I stick my head out the door, and sure enough, there's a fire truck about two doors down. The house wasn't on fire, so I don't know. It was probably a medical emergency or something. But anyway, so I thought, okay, I'm going to get some tape. I'm going to fix this. I'm going to get some tape, and I'm going to put it on the doorbell, and then I'm going to go back to bed. It'll be fine, because when Brian mows the yard, Brian will put tape on the doorbell, and then he'll mow the yard so that I'm not at work getting a million alerts on my wrist. So I get up. I'm looking for some blue tape, painter's tape that he used to use to do that. I couldn't find it, but I found some tape, and it looked white, but I didn't turn all the lights on, so I wasn't sure. So I kind of open the door. I stick it over the doorbell. I go back. I get in bed. I'm laying there, and it starts going off again. It's just consistently going off. So I look, and I can still see. And I thought, I must have put Scotch tape over this thing or something, you know, some clear tape, because I can still see, and it's still activating the doorbell. So I get up, I turn all the lights on, I climb up in a chair. I finally found the blue painter's tape that I think is going to fix my problem, but I couldn't find the end of it to peel it off. So I put it back in the cabinet. I thought, I know, I'm just going to double that tape that's already over the doorbell. I'm just going to go out there and double it, and surely that'll be enough. So I go and I open the door, I double it, I go lay back in bed, and it's still going off. And I'm thinking, what? This is like my only day to sleep, late, Lord, and I'm up. So I'm sitting there, and as I'm thinking about it, I realize something. You're supposed to put the tape over the camera, not the doorbell. So I put it over the doorbell. So I went outside, I pull it off the doorbell, I stick it over the camera, I go back and get in bed, and finally, I can sleep. But here's the deal. The lights and the doorbell were not really my problem. My problem was the fire truck. And until the fire truck actually left, that was the root of the whole issue, was the fire truck. Sometimes we put tape over our sin, Band-Aids over our sin, to try to cover it up so it doesn't bother us anymore. That's not really the problem. Sometimes we make ourselves comfortable just covering stuff up and thinking, well, nobody else sees it. It's okay. It's not okay. It is not okay. You've got to get rid of the root problem. You've got to get rid of that sin in your life. So what I want us to do today is just think about this. Is there sin in your life? Ask the Holy Spirit. I mean, you know, sometimes we don't think there is. Sometimes we think we're in a good place right now with everything. But if you ask the Lord, you may want to ask the Holy Spirit this. If you don't feel like there's any sin in your life, ask the Holy Spirit, where is there a place in the hedge of protection around me? Because we all have boundaries. You should have boundaries around your marriage, around your life. Is there a place where there's a hole in my hedge where the enemy could come in and it could be a problem for me? Maybe it's not a big deal. Maybe it's not a big deal now, but it could turn into something later. So you need to ask the Holy Spirit, is there an area in my life that I need to shore up? Or is there an area in my life that's already, it's sin and I need to repent? And then is there something that you've been trying to fix yourself? And like me, you are fixing it incorrectly. Is there anything that you try to fix yourself? Anything I try to fix myself usually is a disaster. Because I need the Lord to help me spiritually. I mean, I can't fix stuff myself. I've come to that conclusion. And then ask the Holy Spirit for a sin alert right now. Just right now, that something would come to your mind. And then repent and remove that sin from your life. Sometimes it's as easy as saying, Lord, I am sorry and I will not do that again. And then that determination, you're not going to do it again. And you're going to keep that at the forefront of your mind. And sometimes it becomes a cycle. You repent, you're sorry, you really are sorry, but then you're right back in it. and then you repent, and then you're sorry, and then you're right back in it. We've got to stop the right back in it part. We've got to repent and sorry and then turn the other way and leave. And if that means a severed relationship, then that means a severed relationship, because that is not worth your soul. Whatever it means that you have to cut out, you've got to cut it out of your life. You cannot toy with it and play with it. So I just want us to think about this. If there's something that's come to your mind, I just want every head bowed and every eye closed. And Father, we are just coming to you right now. Father, I am asking you to reveal anything in my life that I need to repent of. Anything, any sin that I need to take care of. Lord, any kind of thing in my life that's unhealthy for me spiritually, that may turn into something bigger, it may cause me to stumble and fall later on. Lord, whatever it is, Father, I ask that you speak to each person in this room. Father, because we cannot afford to live with sin. We cannot afford to let it take over our life. It will mean spiritual death for us. And that is not something we can afford. Help us to be realistic about things. Help us to realize, Lord, that we have to turn from any sin and serve you. That we need to make our bodies a living sacrifice to you. Father, I ask that you touch each person, Lord. Let them see this. Let them know what they have to do. Give them the strength to do what you are asking them to do. Give them supernatural strength, a change of desire, whatever that may be, Father. I pray that you give them that right now. And help them, Father, to move forward in relationship with you and not with the enemy anymore. Father, I ask that you just move in a mighty way in each life, and I ask it in Jesus' name.